So hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive. With me, Stephen, and for the very last time, my wonderful co-host, Otelli.
That's correct. It is going to be my last deep dive.
Why? Where are you heading off to?
You're not going to get rid of me, don't worry. I'm still going to be on the screens, focusing on my my news bulletin, East Asia Tonight, on CNA, happening at 6 p.m. Okay. So, in the meantime,
Don't try and steal my audience. Our audience, sorry, I've already.
But you're going to be getting a new shiny co-host.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so try not to have too many parties before he or she joins you.
So, for this last discussion, we're going to talk about something that's quite serious because, you know, growing up, when you're a teenager, you know, it's kind of hard. Sometimes you like a girl, she doesn't like you back, you feel upset, a bit hurt.
Steve,
you know,
since this is my last podcast, I want you to be honest with me, right?
Yeah.
How many times in your dating life has a girl, like, rejected you?
Oh, many times.
One hand? Two hands?
I can't even remember how many, but I mean...
But that's the thing. I mean, you just kind of bounce right back. I mean, maybe you're like, oh gosh, you know.
At the time, I was upset. I was but I just
figured, all of 2 seconds, you mean.
Yeah,
then.
Well, okay, maybe 7 seconds, you know. But yeah, it seemed like just a normal course of life, a rite of passage. And eventually, as I matured, you know, I didn't really... Even like now, I don't even remember those occasions.
Yeah, so I mean, that's all kind of linked to what we're going to talk about, because in this digital age, loneliness can find a very different and much darker kind of community. And that's what we saw in a recent case involving a 14-year-old Singaporean student who was issued a restriction order.
Yeah, that's right. While he was radicalized by a mix of ideologies, he also identified as an incel. Now, this stands for involuntary celibate, and it's an online subculture of men who blame women for their lack of romantic success.
Yeah, and it's actually a world with its own language.
Yeah.
Quite a few, you know, it might sound familiar to you. We've got words like looks maxing, chads, stacies, you know, that can quickly spiral from personal grievance into violent misogyny and even extremism.
Yeah, and in fact, this TV series, Adolescence, it was on Netflix, about a young teen boy who kills a girl he was interested in dating.
I guess today, you know, for our podcast in Deep Dive, we're trying to find out, how does this ideology even take root?
Yeah.
How can we help young men like that who believe in these hostile narratives?
And for today's discussion, we have Yasmin Wong, Associate Research Fellow at the Centre of Excellence for National Security at the Rajaratnam School of International Studies.
Hi, happy to be here.
Devendra Bisaria, Counsellor from In Contact Counselling.
Pleased to be here, and I'm so happy to be here on your last
one. Okay, welcome guys.
All right, so let's just kick things off trying to find out a little bit more about incel culture, because for some people they might be learning about this term for the first time. So for our listeners, perhaps help us break it all down first, what incel culture is about and what do incels believe in. Yasmin?
Okay, so as you very aptly summarized, incel stands for involuntary celibate. So they believe that after the sexual revolution of the 1970s, women have this power over men because they now have the choice to choose their sexual and romantic partners. And this choice, they rely very heavily on physical appearances. So things like broad shoulders or strong jawlines, things that incels believe that they do not possess.
And height is a big thing as well, right?
Height is a thing as well.
Right.
So like whatever you think the traditional man, masculine build should look like, that is what they believe in. And because they don't have that, they believe that women have essentially excluded them from the sexual marketplace. And because of this, they turn to hating women because they think that women are the ones oppressing them and men are the victims instead of, you know, the opposite way around.
Wow, okay. So it's in a sense, because they can't find a girl who would like them, they can't have sex, or no woman would have sex with them, then they start saying, well, it's not my fault, it's your fault.
Yeah, essentially
right.
that. Yeah.
And then they just spiral into this, I mean, I guess especially with online, and they find groups, right? And then it just sort of enhances or you know, magnifies what they already believe in. So, Devendra, what is some of the common rhetoric that, you know, incels here in Singapore believe, or some of the people that you have counselled, the young men that you have counselled?
Just to add to what Yasmin said, there is a sense of entitlement that these people have, that I am entitled to a romantic or sexual or and sexual relationship okay. with a woman, if I don't get it, then I have to find a reason for it. And that reason is the scapegoating of women themselves. That is their choice. They are not making the choice for me, so it's their fault.
Mm.
So that's how your entitlement turns into victim status.
I see.
But how did they become like that? Is it because they've been rejected like 10 times, 15 yeah. times, 20? I mean, how does...
What made them suddenly flip, you know, and say, it's not my fault, it's your fault?
You rationalize it to yourself that way.
Mm, okay.
And that's when the influencing starts, the external influencing. Okay, so I have these thoughts that women don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I find people with like thoughts on the internet. Mm-hmm. They are able to explain it in more detail, channel my thought process in a direction if I am more malleable.
Right.
And that's how you develop your thinking. I mean, a 14-year-old cannot independently discover all this stuff that you said, you know, the extreme end where violence is manifested. It has to be guided and led at that age.
And that's how it starts. So in a way, it's the kid who's thinking, oh, I'm so upset, this girl didn't like me. He
Correct.
Puts it in some forum and they write back and say, dude, don't worry, you're not alone, man, and it's not your fault.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
So how do we tell the difference between a misogynist and an incel?
Yeah.
So incel ideology is this very specific community where people have their own language and they, you know, use that language to understand the world around them. For example, as you said, like terming people as chats, Beckys, Stacys.
Mm-hmm.
So all incels do harbor misogynistic views, but not every misogynist will identify as an incel.
Correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because inceldom basically is born from them believing that they cannot find a sexual romantic partner because they are unattractive.
So there is this sense, right, we talked about like earlier when Steve, you know, he's been rejected multiple times in his dating life, but, you know, he gets over it and you just move on. Mm. Why is it so difficult for this particular group of young men to just move on?
There's this sort of consolidation of these grievances through this ideology where it's not just your personal grievance. There are so many men around the world who face this same problem. So the problem then elevates from just, you know, personal, normal, adolescent things to something very systemic. And this system is then the thing that they blame on women.
So it's almost the environment. You're saying there are these online forums, there are chat groups, there are subculture groups, which will reinforce your way of thinking. I guess in the past when, you know, the girl didn't like me and we knew I had no chance, my pals would be like, ah, don't worry, buddy, you know, next time, you know, we just move on.
You're another fish, yeah. Right,
but they didn't say, hey, man, it's not your fault. There's something wrong with her. You
know what I mean? Yeah.
So it's kind of a different perspective.
So there's also... Okay, any social problems when they arise, it takes time to get the data, to do research, to understand it properly. So this particular issue, while it has been there for a long time in the way of what you may call misogyny, I mean, language is very important, right, the terminology. So you call it misogyny, but in many societies, the woman's role is subordinate to the man.
Yeah.
What do you call that misogyny? No, that's a cultural, social evolution of that society, right? Misogyny is a specific hatred or targeting or dislike of you because of your gender.
Okay.
I dislike you. It's not to do about you're not subordinate to me or something. You are the cause of so many problems. And that's why there's this angst about the feminist movement. That's a very big target for them. Women's equality. In the UK, some research was done and they identified three traits. One of those was being prone to depression. Another one, they said that a large percentage of these people had what you call neurodivergence. So those are very specific traits and they manifest themselves in very different ways, right? It could be like a social phobia, fear of being in a social environment, talking, many behavioral issues are based on what is broadly called neurodivergence.
And they all contribute to
Correct.
This incel culture.
And so this one particular type is getting channeled into this. So, you know, it's not like everybody who's been dumped by their girlfriend or who didn't get a positive response is a misogynist. No, not at all. It takes a particular pre-existing set of conditions to channel that response to that event.
So some people say, oh, you know, incel could just be an ideology, is what I'm just thinking, and maybe they think that way, but they don't act on it. But yeah. I think what is becoming increasingly scary is the fact that this ideology now can lead to extremist beliefs or violence. Talk us through why, you know, and when that can possibly happen.
Yeah, Yasmin, how does it link to becoming a security threat, you know? How do these guys...
So, firstly, incel ideology is an extremist ideology. I think this is what a lot of people overlook when they identify as incels. So, because it seems... The term seems very innocuous and it seems very relatable, right? Like, oh, I'm forever alone because I don't feel attractive enough, or, you know, this sense of... like body dysmorphia, things like that. It's very relatable. But what people overlook is the political goals and the very violent tenets of incel culture. So initially it was seen to be like this, you know, group that has no political goals. It's just a collection of personal grievances. But now it does have a consolidated worldview, which is and a political goal, which is that their utopia is where women are commodified and distributed equally amongst men. A lot of incels don't believe that this is something attainable.
Okay.
They're realistic, but they do, some of them, not all of them, but some incels do see that incel rebellion is a very justified form of violence, a set of actions that they can take as revenge against women who have rejected them, or... to usurp the feminist system that oppresses them.
Wow, okay. So in a way, their thinking is so extreme that is why we feel that this could be a threat, because they will end up... Well, their utopia is something that seems unachievable, but at the same time, they think it might be possible and they could take steps to try and get there, right?
And even if... I mean, some incels or some self... diagnosed incels who have come out for interviews with, you know, the newspapers, they do say that, I'm just a moderate incel, I'm a cultural incel, I don't engage with the political tenets of incel culture. But you are still engaging in spaces where people do talk about these things, or that language is very misogynistic, very violent, or very hateful against women. So you can still be let down rabbit holes.
There's a process of normalization that happens when public figures become role models who spout this kind of ideology. So you have the case in the UK of this guy called Andrew Tate. Imagine a 14-year-old listening to this stuff. Now, this guy has 10 million followers on his social media account, right? So all that helps you to reinforce your own beliefs. Okay, so what I'm thinking... It's probably right.
So when young men, right, are absorbing these ideas, right, doesn't it then make intervention more difficult?
It does. So this conversation I like to break into two pieces, right? Because I think it needs to be. So one is the existing, let's say, adolescent. Okay. In the development cycle, adolescence is the most vulnerable stage. It's the most developments happening in your body physically, your hormones, your brain is developing, your psychology is developing, your exposure to the universe is expanding, right? To identify deviations in that requires very close monitoring and looking out for signals that will make you suspect or, you know, aware that something is going on. But there's another conversation also to be had about, okay, what do new parents who are having a baby, how do they prevent this happening 14 years from now? And there are things you can about parenting, the relationship you develop with your child, etc. So the first model, which is the existing semi-adult or adult. Yeah. I mean, this is not just unique to adolescents or young people. Huh? All age groups are can be converted into incels, depending on their life story. So to identify those is obviously harder. And to reconvert them is equally hard. So misogyny, by definition, is a gender. It's not a specific person.
Yeah.
You reject me doesn't mean you're the target of my hatred. All women become the target of my hate.
But isn't it only the women they can't get, the ones that they want, not the ones...
They are the triggers. But okay, so one very interesting part of the incel culture and psychology is what they call the 80-20 rule.
Okay.
80% of women only want 20% of men. Mm. And those 20% of men have certain physical attributes that make them desirable.
Those are the chads,
we
they call them,
about,
right?
Yeah,
I'm in the 80% of men, so I am automatically excluded.
Right. Mm.
And if it's 80% of women behaving that way, that's a generalization. So all women are like that.
So the Singapore context, right, how worried should we be that this sort of incel themes would, you know, resonate here in Singapore? Because, I mean, we have that isolated case, but right now it seems like it's happening more in the West.
Yes. Well, the extreme manifestations into violence are largely in those societies.
Mm.
And there are reasons for that. Those societies have developed differently. Our cultural, social history is very different. The access to weapons is almost automatic in a place like the USA, as opposed to here. So there is access, there is ability, there is, you know, opportunity. All those things differ society to society.
Yeah. But still, is this something that we need to keep a close eye on, Yasmin? I mean, because if this becomes... we don't know at which point the switch might be flipped for this person, you know. So how do we sort of preempt a situation like that?
I think it is a cause for concern because misogyny is so universal.
Mm.
Like, yes, incel culture is born of, you know, Western context, but it's that misogyny that can resonate with, you know, any society around the world. Especially in Asian societies where we see, you know, the traditional family structure slowly shifting in modern times. So it's, and these anxieties that they tap on, like sense of, you know, loneliness, sense of disenfranchisement with society, feelings of rejection, these are also very universal.
So actually, yes, this whole host of misogynistic comments that you found on Reddit, Sammy Boy, where does it go from just, you know, like locker room talk, right, to something a bit more, to incel extremism? I mean, is it very clear to you? Because, you know, parents or teachers, I'm sure they would want to know. I mean, is there a clear line?
I think... like the proper incel communities have been, you know, banned from a lot of platforms. So like on Reddit, you can't find them in the open. So I have not gone into the actual incel communities, but I have seen some comments that may parallel these misogynistic views. So for example, I mean, in Singapore, other people have written about this Bui Forever Alone community where people believe that because they're out of shape, they're unattractive, they will be forever alone. So, I mean, it starts off very innocuous, very relatable, everyone bonding together because like of the sense of like inferiority, but they also do engage in behaviors like posting pictures of women and then sort of like rating them like, are these women sort of sexually attractive to you, even amongst you as, you know, BBFAs who are unattractive? Like, are they okay for
you? But how much of this, because some men will say, you know, especially even fathers, and say, but they're just boys. Boys will be boys, you know, and they don't. And at some point in time, we've all gone, oh, that girl's pretty hot. And you're like, how hot? You know, I give a 7 out of 10 or something like that. Mm. I mean, so again, at which point does misogyny become something that we need to seriously worry about? And is there
telltale
even
telltale signs? I suppose.
Yeah, telltale signs, because you say it's not just age. Yes. Age alone does not disqualify them.
Okay, so there is psychology, means thought processes that you may have. There's the evolution of that. So take an example. And social media today plays a very big role in this. Because they work on algorithms. Okay, it's like Google. You say sweater, it'll start showing you photos of sweaters. It'll start showing you Marks and Spencers. Maybe they sell these sweaters. It's now going to start trying to make you buy a sweater.
Right.
Mm. So the algorithms present these further darkening thoughts to the people just when they're doing simple research. Maybe I got dumped. I'm looking for some consolation. Why do other people get dumped? Within minutes, literally, you can be in this incel world at an extreme.
Yeah, so that is quite depressing, right? Because, I mean, at the same time, you know, nowadays kids, right, they have access to the iPhones and iPads and all that. And yet there's only so much the parents can do to right? I mean, to monitor and to supervise, you see. So how do we, you know, try and work around that? Is it about having conversations about masculinity when they're at a certain age? Should fathers take the central role? Mothers? I mean, at what age do we start talking to boys about, you know, these things?
I think it's got to be right from the start. That's why I mentioned the other piece, that, you know, when you're going to have a kid, what kind of relationship do you want to have with the kid as they grow up? if you cannot have a relationship where open, frank conversations and discussions happen, for example, don't do that. Kid will say, why? I'm your father. I'm telling you don't do it. That's why. That's not an answer. Okay. That's not an explanation that will satisfy the kid.
That's right.
Reason with the kid, understand their question and their curiosity, explain it to them. That will stick with them. That's how children's beliefs are formulated as they grow older, right?
Okay.
There are pieces to it. I believe the family, the parents have a role to play. I believe the schools have a role to play. And of course, society in general. And on top of that, there's the government. Government always has to, and now we're seeing that, right? In China, in Australia also, there's a law that's going to be passed soon restricting access to certain apps. Yeah. You have to be age identified to be able to access it, etc. These are the big top high level stuff. Schools, teachers are already trained to look out for and identify certain behaviors like isolationist, depression, not being fraternal with your other students, etc. That's been from the point of view of self-harm,
a mental wellness,
depression, etc.
approach.
That needs to be expanded to include, okay, this guy was fine. Suddenly he's isolating himself. Talk to his friends. What's going on? What's the new things he's been talking to you about? You know, because they talk about it. When it's not received well by the peers, they shut themselves off. Because if your peers mock you or say you're being ridiculous, why would I share it again? I isolate myself. So there are many signs like that.
Okay.
For the parents, for the family, again, is the kid being alone? Is the kid spending time in their room? Do you know what they're watching on the internet? Are there ways? Today, technology exists.
Right.
That I can put child monitoring apps on the phone to make sure that there are certain websites you cannot access. Or if you do, I will know about it.
Yeah.
They need to do these kind of things. But in some more Western societies, I guess, that very quickly turns into a debate about freedom and privacy.
Where are the gaps that we still need to close here just to make sure that, young men don't turn out to be incels?
I think the danger of it currently is how mainstream incel or even just misogynistic or far-right narratives are, or like language. So things like looks maxing or calling someone a chat or, like Sigma male, things that children do use, like all these.
So that's why parents have to intervene and then sort of correct them?
But some would say what's wrong with it?
They're just terms. I mean, we used to call a girl hot. Was that wrong?
So
today, yes.
Yes, today it would be, right?
Would say, yes, but at that time it was not considered. Yeah.
So now the chat is, or...
It's the origins of these terms that they are from incel cultures, but we don't see that anymore. We don't see that link being established anymore in when we talk about it casually. And this sort of, as you mentioned about the algorithms, this leads children down dangerous rabbit holes because one moment they're looking up how do I improve my looks via looks maxing content, and then next moment they're introduced or recommended incel content or more extremist content.
I think Dr. Leipzig or something else, sorry I mispronounced the name, but she made a fantastic statement. She said a crisis of masculinity has become a crisis of misogyny. A crisis of masculinity is my gender role, perceived gender role, being challenged or questioned or not being facilitated. I grew up, I'm supposed to be the head of the family. I'm supposed to be the one earning, supporting the family. I have a role as a man. I am a male.
Yeah.
That is okay and that should be discussed. And roles change in society as societies evolve. That is getting converted into an automatic hatred of women.
Right.
Because I am being emasculated because of them. Because they have become more equal. They have demanded rights. My rights have been taken away.
Okay.
In Singapore, sorry, I just wanted to add this because it's important. And I've seen it several places. You mentioned it. In Singapore particularly, because Singapore, your average person in this category in Singapore believes that Singapore offers equal opportunity. It is that evolved a society. But then you have things like the Women's Charter. Why aren't women going for NS? You just took away 2 years of my life, so they're already ahead of me in the career curve. Again, this feeling of being unfairly treated and women being given a leg up adds to this feeling of, being denied, being victimized, etc. These are very important things that society has to resolve in the years to come, right?
And I think it's just about having the conversations, right, to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough conversation because I have to admit that prior to doing research for this discussion, I knew hardly anything about what incel culture is. And, you know, I mean, now that I've heard some of these terms, I'll probably go back and speak to my kids and say, you know, because I'm sure at that age in the schools, they'll be talking about it, also not knowing the link to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
And I guess that's where the danger, because you start here, but you may end up there.
Yeah. And that was my personal reaction to Adolescence, the series you mentioned, was that. I think it created a global, suddenly this thing exploded.
That's right.
And there was curiosity, there was people like, what the hell is this?
Mm.
Doing research, asking the questions, etc. I think it raised a lot of, we were talking about this earlier, I think it raised a lot of very important issues and questions and did not investigate them, left them at the surface. Mm. It did not dig. So why did the guy kill? We don't know.
Yeah.
It was never exposed. Just to label him an incel and leave it at that, I think raised more questions, and I feel
maybe a sequel is coming.
I think somebody should also debunk the whole 80-20 rule, right? I mean, it's not just always about looks, you know. It's just about chemistry, about persons. You know, if you're kind, and the other things you can work on.
In fact, I always present myself as an example. I mean, my wife is beautiful. Look at me. I always say it's entirely possible. You know, you look around. You look at couples.
Yeah.
When I look at them, I find 80% of them, you know, the man is not particularly attractive.
Yeah, and I find a lot of tall women with shorter men as well. But think about it.
That itself, there's a connotation in that. That women are so shallow that they value shallow things like looks. Uh-huh. Whereas, you know, everybody is actually valuing marrying, having sex with, being romantic for people because of the people they are, the persons they are. Right. Not the way they look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and so it's a it's
so
sort
is
of,
that is that sort of that sort of mind feeding. Swap that you need to
so,
sort
so
of.
If you actually try to have an intellectual conversation with this kind of person, you will discover how full of contradictions their own thinking is.
Right.
There are contradictions all around.
Okay, okay. Because if they looked at it in a practical and logical way, it just wouldn't make sense. Okay, so this is one of those where, again, we've raised the issue. We've brought more, hopefully more awareness to it. And
clarity,
you know,
as
leave
well.
All of you to be home. And please, please, you know, find out more. You can read up more about it if you want to have that conversation with your children. Because this is something that I think is not going to go away anytime soon.
No, yeah. We might need to do a follow-up on this podcast as well. Or you might need to do a follow-up on that podcast.
Right. On that note, we want to say goodbye for this episode. Also, Otelli, thank you for hanging out with me.
It's been fun.
Yeah, and I'll see you around the office.
For sure. I'm sticking around.
Okay, so this is Deep Dive. Of course, do let us know any feedback, thoughts you have on the episode as well. A shout out to the team, Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Saya Win, Ho Pei Ning, Nat Fetovero, Alison Jenner, and video is by Hanida Amin and Azli Azmat. So thanks for joining us. See you next week.
See ya.